Once again, we're afforded another opportunity this side of eternity to hear the word of faith that builds us up. As Paul said, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them that are sanctified. Acts 20 and verse 32. Thank you for being here. I encourage you to get your Bible and search the scriptures with us. I appreciate the reading a moment ago from Revelation 14 and verse 13, where we were reminded, blessed are the dead which die, where? In the Lord. I'm calling your attention to the word in this particular study. I was reminded in our studies through the books of the Old Testament thus far that God has always put salvation in some place. I'd like to emphasize that in our study this afternoon, beginning first of all with a reminder that God put his salvation in the days of Noah. You remember where? In the ark. Genesis 6:5, God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. God was upset that he had made man and decided to send a global flood that would destroy all flesh from the face of the earth. The provision was made for the salvation of Noah. That involved making an ark. In Genesis 6:14, God said, make thee an ark of gopher wood. And he gave him the blueprint by which to make it. And we read in verse 22, thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him, so did he. Good question for me would be, if I'd been Noah, would I have built the ark like God told me to? In chapter 7, the Lord extends to Noah an invitation. He said in verse 1, come thou and all thy house, where? Into the ark. For thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. A good exercise is to read chapter 7, and every time you see the word in or into, circle that. Beginning in verse 1, into the ark. In verse 7, Noah went in, and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with him, into the ark. Verse 9, there went in, two and two unto Noah, into the ark. Then the word entered in verse 13. In the self same day entered Noah. Last three words, into the ark. Verse 15, and they went in unto Noah, into the ark. Verse 16, and they went in. Went in male and female, and the Lord shut him in. Then look at verse 23. Every living substance was destroyed which is upon the face of the ground, both man and cattle and the creeping things and the fowl of heaven. And they were destroyed from the earth, and Noah only remained alive, and they that were with him. Question for you. Why only Noah and they that were with him remained alive? The answer, the last three words of verse 23, in the ark. So if you were Noah and you were interested in being saved from the destruction of the old world, would you have understood the importance of being in the ark to be saved? What happened to all those outside the ark? They perished. They were lost. Peter commented on this in 1 Peter 3 and verse 20, and here's what he said. We sometime are disobedient when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah while the ark was preparing. Listen, wherein, circle that word, wherein. That is, in the ark. Few, that is, eight souls were saved by water. So where did God put salvation in the days of Noah? In the ark. That's simple to comprehend, isn't it? Salvation in the ark, all those outside the ark were lost. But as you appreciate the use the Holy Spirit made of this word in, I call your attention to the fact that God put salvation in the house with the blood of the Lamb. That takes us to the period of bondage in Egypt. The 10th and final plague God brought upon the Egyptians. The death of the firstborn. In Exodus chapter 4, 22 and 23, the Lord sent Moses with this message unto Pharaoh. Thus saith the Lord, Israel is my son, even my firstborn. And I say unto thee, let my son go, that he may serve me. And if thou refuse to let him go, behold, I'll slay thy son, even thy firstborn. It's a shame it had to come to that. But it did. In Exodus 11, 4 and 5, Moses said, thus saith the Lord. Notice his appeal. You can't improve on that, can you? We've got folks today who are getting away from that. Thus saith the Lord, about midnight will I go out into the midst of Egypt, and all the firstborn in the land of Egypt shall die. From the firstborn of Pharaoh that sit upon his throne, even on the firstborn of the maidservant that's buying the meal, and all the firstborn of beasts, and there shall be a great cry throughout all the land of Egypt, such as there was none like it, nor shall be like it anymore. In chapter 12, God instituted the Passover. It was his provision of salvation for his people from this plague of the death of the firstborn. It involved killing a lamb, Exodus 12, 5. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Verse 6, keep it up unto the 14th day of the same month. Kill it in the evening. And in verse 22, they were instructed, take a bunch of hyssop, a bushy herb. They'd use like a paintbrush, dip it in the blood in the basin, and then strike the lintel and the two side posts. So they dip it in the blood and apply it to the doorpost with this instruction, as recorded in Exodus 12 and in verse 22. None of you shall go out at the door of his house under the morning. Not only were they to apply the blood to the doorpost, but they were to remain where? In the house. And then the Lord said in verse 23 that when he seeth the blood, he'd pass over the door and would not suffer the destroyer to come where? In unto your houses to smite you. You have your Bible with you, underscore, circle that word in. And so they were to apply the blood to the door and remain in the house. And then the firstborn in that house would not be destroyed. If you'd been a Jew at that time, would you have been in the house? Or would you have ventured outside the house? Would you have understood that in order to be saved from the death of the firstborn, that you had to remain in the house with the blood of the Lamb on it? But also, God put salvation in Rahab's house during the period of conquest when the people crossed Jordan to take possession of the land that flows with milk and honey. As recorded in Joshua 2, Joshua sent two spies to Jericho. They went and came into an harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. Joshua 2 and verse 1. And the Bible reports that the woman took the two men and hid them. Verses 4 and 6. The New Testament relates this as a story of great faith. In Hebrews 11 and in verse 31, by faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not when she had received the spies with peace. And James capitalized on this incident to report on faith and works in James 2 and verse 25 when he said, likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way. She pleaded for deliverance, if you're familiar with it. In Joshua 2:12, she said, now therefore I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I've showed you kindness. Her kindness was demonstrated in hiding the spies and sending them another way. What kindness does she want? That you'll save alive my father and my mother and my brethren and my sisters and all that they have and deliver our lives from death. Would God we had that same feeling today. When it comes to those who are lost in sin, we'd be concerned about our father and our mother, our brethren, our sisters, our loved ones. Deliver our lives from death, spiritual death. The wage of sin is death. Romans 6 and verse 23. The death that she's talking about is the death that would come when they took the city of Jericho. And provision was made for the salvation of Rahab and her father's household. They were told in verse 18, when we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window, which thou didst let us down by. And then look at verse 19. It is written, and it shall be that whosoever shall go out of the doors of thy house into the street, his blood shall be upon his head and will be guiltless. And whosoever shall be with thee, what's the next three words? In the house, his blood shall be on our head, if any hand be upon him. And if thou utter this our business, and we'll be quit of thine oath, which thou hast made us to swear. So three conditions upon which Rahab would be saved in the taking of Jericho. What were those? First, bind this line of scarlet thread in the window. Second, stay in the house. And third, keep quiet about it. Don't utter this our business. So in the provisions for Rahab's salvation was the instruction in the house. Now, let me ask you this. Would it have been too narrow-minded for you to think that God put salvation in Rahab's house? Would you have thought one house is as good as another? I think I'll just go into the neighbor's house. Or I'll just stay in my house. What difference does it make? You got folks today who think one church is as good as another. As good as the Lord's house. But anyway, Rahab came to understand one house wasn't as good as another. The Lord put salvation in her house. And would it have been too narrow-minded to think that to be saved you had to stay in the house? Would you have ventured outside of the house and just wondered what's going on out here? If you wanted to be saved in the days of Rahab, you had to be in the house. And according to Joshua 6, when the city of Jericho was besieged, taken, and destroyed, it is said in Joshua 6 and verse 17, all the cities shall be accursed, even it and all that are therein, to the Lord. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all that are with her, where? In the house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. Then verse 25. And Joshua saved Rahab the harlot alive and her father's household and all that she had, and she dwelleth in Israel even to this day, because she hid the messengers which Joshua sent to spy out Jericho. Why was Rahab saved? Because she met the conditions of salvation, one of which was being in the house. If you'd been Rahab, would you have been in the house? But also, we're reminded of the fact that God put salvation in cities of refuge. Back in the book of Exodus, the Lord said in Exodus 21, 12 and 13, he that smiteth a man so that he die shall be surely put to death. That imposed capital punishment on murder. But then provision was made for unintentional, accidental killing. If a man lie not in wait, this wasn't premeditated. But God delivered him into his hand, and he said, I will appoint thee a place whither he shall flee. More information is revealed about this place in the book of Numbers, chapter 35, when it is said in verse 6, among the cities which ye shall give unto the Levites, there shall be six cities for refuge. That's a place of salvation, place of protection. And in verse 11, he said, that the slayer may flee thither, which killeth any person at unawares. That's unintentionally, accidentally. And the instruction given in verse 25 was, he shall abide in it, circle that word in, that is, in the city of refuge, unto the death of the high priest. But if the slayer shall at any time come without the border of the city of his refuge, whither he was fled, and the revenge of blood find him without the borders of the city of his refuge, and the revenge of blood kill the slayer, he should not be guilty of blood. Why? because he should have remained in the city. See that? So if you venture out of the city, what are you doing? You're taking your life in your own hands. He should have remained in the city of his refuge until the death of the high priest. But after the death of the high priest, the slayers returned into the land of his possession. That's Numbers 35 and verse 28. Deuteronomy 19, 1 to 13 talks about it. And in Joshua chapter 20, when the children of Israel took possession of the land, you find the cities of refuge being appointed as the Lord gave instruction to Moses. And in Joshua 20 and in verse 4, it is said, they shall take him into the city. And in verse 6, he shall dwell in that city. So, if you wanted to be safe and protected from the avenger of blood, where would you be? In the city. God put his salvation, his blessing of protection and safety in the cities of refuge. But then again, I find in the New Testament where salvation was put in a ship. In Acts 27, you may recall how the Jews brought charges against Paul. And he made his appeal to Caesar. So he's on his way to Rome. And there arose what's called a tempestuous wind, Eurocladon, Acts 27, 14. And Paul said in verse 22, I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there should be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. They're going to suffer shipwreck. The ship's going to be lost, but no man's life will be lost. How could he say that? He said, there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul. Thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even that was told me. Wouldn't it be great if we could all say that? I believe God. Do you? Then in verse 31, Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers. Now, they were about to flee out of the ship. Verse 30. Maybe that would have seemed like the thing to do. If you'd been there, let's abandon ship. The ship's going to be lost. We've got to abandon ship. Jump ship. But Paul said, except these abide in the ship, ye cannot be saved. Got to underscore that. If you're going to be saved in that shipwreck, what are you going to have to do? Abide in the ship. And read on in the book, and you'll find that that's exactly what happened. They were saved. There was no loss of any man's life. Would you have abandoned ship, or would you have stayed in the ship? So we've learned that God has put salvation in some place, right? In the ark, in the house with the blood on it, in Rahab's house, in the cities of refuge, in a ship. Did you know God has put salvation in a particular place today? Would you like to know where that is? Today it is in Christ and His church. Did you know the Bible teaches that salvation today is in Christ? You know, if it was in an ark, I'd have to find it and get in it, wouldn't I? If it was in a house, I'd have to find that house and get in it and remain in it. If it was in a city, that's where I'd have to go. If it's in a ship, that's where I'd need to be. But he's placed it in Christ and the church. 2 Timothy 2:10 says, therefore, I endure all things for the elect's sakes, that they may also obtain the salvation, which is where? In Christ Jesus, with eternal glory. All spiritual blessings in heavenly places are in Christ. Ephesians 1:3. If all of them are in Christ, then how many are outside of Him? Not a single solitary one. In Ephesians 2, 13 and 16, I learned that to be in Christ is to be in His church. Paul said, now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. That's verse 13. Now verse 16. And that He might reconcile both unto God where? in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. Notice how these two texts go together. Verse 13 says, in Christ. Verse 16, in one body. Verse 13 says, made nigh. Verse 16 says, reconcile. Verse 13 says, by the blood of Christ. And verse 16, by the cross. They explain one another. So to be made nigh is to be reconciled, and by the blood is equivalent to by the cross, and to be in the body is to be in Christ. And the body is the church. This book reveals in Ephesians 4 and 4, there is one body. And in chapter 1, 22 and 23, the church which is his body. So salvation has been put in Christ and his church, which is called the Lord's house in 1 Timothy 3, verse 15. And it's the house that has the blood on it, purchased with the blood of Christ, Acts 20 and verse 28. Jesus shed his blood on the cross. John 19, 33 and 34. And you see the connection between the blood and the church in Ephesians 2, 13 and 16. Now, how do I get into this house, the Lord's house? How do I get into Christ and his church? Let's let the Bible answer that. Romans 6 and verse 3 says, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death. Did you get it? Baptized into. Here's another place we read that. Galatians 3 and verse 27. For as many of you as have been what? Baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. That ought to eliminate any question in anybody's mind as to how you get into Christ. Baptized into. And you know the very thing that puts you into Christ? Puts you into his church. For by one Spirit, Paul said, are we all baptized into one body. 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 13. And once we've been baptized into Christ, we've got to remain in Christ. We have to abide in Christ. Just like when you entered Rahab's house, you had to stay put. When you're in the house with the blood of the Lamb on it, you had to remain in the house. And that's how it is with Christ and his church. In the book of John 15 and verse 4, Jesus said, abide in me, and I in you. And in verse 6, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them, cast them in the fire, and they're burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. And so you have to remain in the Lord. The Bible teaches that those who die in Christ will be saved. Remember the text, Revelation 14, 13. Blessed are the dead which die where? In the Lord. And those who die outside of Christ will be lost. In Revelation 21, 8, John said, but the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Now let me ask you this. Are you in or out of the place of salvation? Are you? Are you in the Lord? Are you in his church? Or are you out of the Lord, out of his church? What would have happened to you if you were out of the ark in the days of Noah? What would have happened to you if you're out of the house with the blood during the period of bondage in Egypt? What would have happened to you during the period of conquest if you're out of the house of Rahab in the city of Jericho? What would have happened to you if you were the one who had killed unawares and you're out of the city? When there were the cities of refuge appointed. What would have happened to you if you abandoned ship? If you didn't stay in the ship in Acts 27? You know what would have happened. What's going to happen to you if you're out of the Lord? If you've not been baptized into Christ? Or you've left the church? What's going to happen? We invite you this afternoon to come into Christ and His church through hearing the word of the Lord, believing with all of your heart, repenting of your sins, confessing your faith, I believe that Jesus Christ is Son of God, and being baptized into Christ and into His body for the remission of your sins. You see, Christ and the church is your ark of safety and place of refuge today. If you've already obeyed the gospel, you've been added to the church by the Lord, but you've left, you've departed, you've abandoned ship, you need to return to the shepherd and bishop of your soul through repentance and prayer and confession of sin, as the Bible talks about in Acts 8:22 and 1 John 1 and verse 9. I hope you'll go away remembering God has always put salvation in some place. And today, that place is in Christ and His church. And that's where we need to be. And if we can assist you in making your life right with God, why do you wait? As together we stand and sing, won't you come?